Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and our speaker today, our teacher today, is Cindy Laura Renard. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Jennifer. Nice to be with you. With you in the class.
Nice to be with you. And our theme this time is having a spiritual career, taking God to work with you. And Cindy's topic today is true success. So we're going to get into that and explore what that is. And also, I'm very excited to talk about your new book with you, Cindy. But first, we're going to say a prayer. So I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart. And we're tuning up to the Holy Spirit here, taking this breath, so grateful, so thankful to be wholeheartedly available for pure spirit, that our life truly is the life of God, that we're part of God. So grateful and thankful to call upon the higher Holy Spirit self to lead us and guide us in this conversation, to bring forth more peace, more love, more joy, more freedom, more wholeness, more prosperity, more of the all good that is truly our nature. What I know is that Cindy and I are blessed. Everyone who listens is blessed. We're blessed to join together for the holy purpose of remembering and recognizing our true identity and the true identity of our brothers and sisters. So grateful to go on this adventure, this journey together. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all beings because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. thank you for that.
Yeah. It's, I love prayer. True prayer asks for nothing, as A Course in Miracles tells us. It's really an opportunity to remind ourselves that we're here to represent the one who sent us. So I'm excited about your new book, A Course in Health and Well-Being, and it's based on the principles of A Course in Miracles. And I know we're going to talk about this in our class today, but let's start, Cindy, and just define what success is, because sometimes when I write about success, which I feel is an important topic, people have ideas about success that are not success to me. So let's define what true success is. And for you, how would you define it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... I'd like to make a distinction first between the ego's success and real success.
Yeah.
And then by natural extension, it'll be revealed what real success really is. And, of course, this is in sticking with the true uncompromising principles of A Course in Miracles. But let's remember that the ego has its own goal. And the ego's is success is in terms of its goal is to keep us mindless. It's this lack of awareness is a result of the ego's success in achieving its goal of making the Son of God mindless and having conflict in the world be the cause of victimization. That's so the ego is always motto is seek and do not find. So that is the ego's way, you know, of using success. And then, you know, when we find ourselves in a state of despair or, you know, which is a result of the separation, the ego is like, yes, that's success. I've succeeded in making, you know, my identity real and making the world real and everything that comes along with that. Now, the Course would look at, now, if you look at anywhere in the Course where it talks about success, and this is really interesting, and it talks about it a lot in the workbook, every time the Course mentions the word success, it's always in terms of the mind, and the mind joining with God, you know, or it always has to do with, you know, transcending the ego. True success is transcending the ego and being in a state of joy, in a state of peace. And it's understanding that you cannot have a will apart from God. And we believe that we do, but we can't really have a will apart from God in reality. And so success would be using everything here in the world where we think we are, using it as an opportunity, including, you know, whatever position we find ourselves in, whether it's, you know, whatever it's in, whether it's in certain relationships we're in, careers, you know, wherever we find ourselves, success is using everything as an opportunity for forgiveness and to awaken from the dream. And the Course goes further in saying everything is here is helpful if it's used for the Holy Spirit's purposes. And that means even something that might even feel challenging or difficult or painful, if we just remember that Jesus is asking us in the Course, he's saying everything is helpful if you remember. Just remember that you can use it as an opportunity to awaken from the dream of separation. And we do that by practicing this uncompromising forgiveness. And so forgiveness is the key to happiness. Forgiveness is success when you remember that, you know, it can be applied to anything and everyone that disturbs your peace. So in a nutshell, that would be like success, according to the Course. Anytime we join with God is success. Anytime we separate, you know, it's the complete opposite of that. And not that that's your failing if you do it. There's no such thing as guilt or failure. But, you know, success doesn't have anything to do with the world. Isn't that interesting? It really doesn't, because there's no world to be successful in. So it's only at the mind level, you know, and it doesn't mean, you know, we're not going to do things in the world. But when we really join with the Holy Spirit, remember the true purpose of what our bodies are for, then the effect, which is the world and everything that takes place in the world, it will take care of itself. And that can be trusted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to me, that knowing exactly what you're talking about and holding that in my mind consistently is my success, and it has led me to success in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which, see, that's the beauty of this. Sometimes as a result of your joining with the Holy Spirit and using everything for its purposes and practicing forgiveness, what's undoing this guilt in the mind that says, the guilt says, I'm unworthy, you know? And so, but when we undo the guilt, that can manifest itself in making more loving choices, which can manifest itself as, wow, a symbol of something wonderful happening here in the dream. Yes.
Mm.
So it can be, whatever happens here where you find that you're in a you know, even what the world would think as successful job, you know, having a successful relationship, a successful, you know, that you feel like you're thriving and you're, you know, in health and all of that can definitely be a symbol of your choice for love in the mind. And it can show up that way as abundance, you know, but that's because you chose abundance in your mind first. You know, real abundance is, again, is joining with God, is remembering your true nature as reality. And then, you know, of course, sometimes it manifests itself here, and we can see beautiful symbols here manifested in our lives that represent that choice for love in the mind we made. That's a beautiful thing. Just
indeed.
A reflection. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to make the distinction that the world, though, isn't the cause. You know, in other words,
yeah.
The world is just an effect, and, you know, cause and effect are one. You know, and the world hasn't left our minds. But we can still have symbols of beauty here, as the Course says. It can be a symbol of your reflection of choosing the Holy Spirit.
Indeed.
And then you can reflect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's another important thing that we can share just in this foundational level of what success is and what it isn't, is there's 0 point in comparing to anybody else. Even though
yes.
we're all one, just don't make that comparison, because you can't make comparison without thinking separation.
Good point. Anytime we attempt to compare ourselves, we're falling into another ego trap of making differences real, making specialness real, that making lack real, like this person has something that I don't or I can't get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comparisons are a function of the ego, function of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's really important, because how many of us have done that? I think probably all of us have compared ourselves at one time or another. At one time or another, you know, with something or someone outside of us, even if it's when we're little. But the ego is all based on that, comparisons and making what does it do? Makes the world real. It makes the world more real and more serious. And everything is serious. And that person, you know, is really separate from me and has more abundance than me. And then that's what the ego craves and the ego loves. It wants to make comparisons, because that's how it says I exist.
Yeah.
But when we learn to give that up, when we give that up, we really realize what brings us true joy and true success is giving up the illusory sense of differences, you know, that we really are different from each other, that we have separate interests.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's so helpful to be able to have an opportunity just to have these conversations, these dialogues. It helps bring so much clarity. I love doing these classes and being able to talk with you and talk with others, because the practical application of the Course is, to me, where it comes alive. And that's one of the things that I feel is so wonderful about your teachings and your husband's teachings, because it really is about, how do I live this in my life? How do I practice it? And your book, A Course in Health and Well-Being, has a lot of beautiful, practical sharing for us to understand how we live it. And one of the most, since your book is about health and well-being, on a very practical level, one of the questions that I know is I work with people very closely in my Finding Freedom class, my Master for Living class, which my Master for Living is a year-long class, so I really get to know people. And one of the main things that people grapple with is my health always a reflection of my mind? And does it mean I'm failing if I have illness? Does it mean I'm not successful as a spiritual student if I have illness? And I wonder if you could, what would you say to someone who's really suffering with these kinds of thoughts?
Good question, by the way, because we get a lot of comments and questions about this kind of thing. And how do we really look at when we have, you know, an illness of some kind, you know, what does that really mean? In other words, what is it? Am I creating this now because you know, because of my thoughts, and it goes, you know, lots of questions around that. I think it's important to remember now, as Course students, from the perspective of A Course in Miracles, let's think in terms of wholeness and oneness. Let's think of the bigger picture for a second, and then I'll get back more mm-hmm. specifically into where we are and appear to be now. But remember that the one mind, which split off into seemingly two different parts, the Holy Spirit and the ego's thought system, the ego made up this whole world, which all at once, at the seeming beginning, that included a projection of bodies that appear to be both healthy and sick.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all established at the beginning. Now what we're doing is we have these seemingly separate minds that are reliving what already happened, according to Jesus in the Course, happened long ago. Now we're just mentally reviewing that which has already gone by. So just starting there is a good starting point to remember that this is why no one should feel guilty or bad if they get sick. This was already done at the ego projected this out all at once. So that's the world of duality, you know, and that's so our only function here when we find ourselves then mentally reviewing a part of our script where we get sick or we have an illness of some kind, our only function is to use it, to accept the atonement for ourselves and to use it for forgiveness, you know, which is not making it real, not making, you know, myself guilty for having this illness, remembering that I'm a mind, I'm not a body, and I have the power to go back into my mind and choose again what I would have myself be. That's really the work of the Course, accepting the atonement that says nothing happened. You know, I'm having a dream of pain or a dream that I'm sick. But it's not real. It's a dream. And I can awaken from this dream, and the Course is telling me how. And so the only thing I need to do is to accept the correction, which is already there in my mind, and it hasn't left my mind. I only need to choose it again now, and that's our power, is choosing it now. And so, yes, the world appeared to come into time and space a long time ago, but the correction is now. And so in my book, I go over, but even in more depth, the steps of true forgiveness, how to truly forgive anything or anyone, you know, in this uncompromising way where you really overlooking the body, over making the world and the body real, reconnecting with your true identity, the Christ nature in you that's never left God, never left its source. This is a very powerful way of dealing with any kind of illness or pain. It's really that remembering. You know, the miracle is a remembering. It's a mm-hmm. shift in perception, you know, that says, the miracle establishes you dream a dream and its content is not true. That includes all kinds of illness, you know. But how do we make it practical, right? This feels very real. I'm feeling this physical pain or I'm...
That's right.
You know, yes, how do we really make that... Well, you know, it's in the application. It's in the application of actually, first of all, making the distinction that it doesn't mean you don't take care of the body. And I address this in my book, and I highly recommend, you know, if anybody is dealing with any kind of illness or painful issues, to read it, really, just because I really do address these deeper, at a deeper level. But it's recognizing, too, that, you know, all pain and everything that we're experiencing, it's very important to remember that it's all pain, all illness is mental illness, and that only perception can be sick because only perception can be wrong. So making the shift in the mind first and remembering that, hey, if it's happening in my mind in a dream, I can change my mind about it, and that's my real power. And I can, you know, imagine the Holy Spirit, and this is the practical part, absolving me of all guilt. Like I join with the Holy Spirit, I can imagine its light washing over me and through me and surrounding me in this, you know, in this beautiful, you know, light-filled, you know, healing white light. And imagine yourself actually becoming the light. Not only you're becoming it, it's surrounding you, but this is what you are. This is as God created you to be, perfect, innocent, whole, complete. Then turn it over to the Holy Spirit and get very clear that that the guiltless mind cannot suffer. And as you get very clear on that, before you go to bed at night, do this exercise. And then turn over your nighttime dreaming to the Holy Spirit and imagining the Holy Spirit is absolving you of this guilt as you sleep. And as you awaken, you can reinforce that, you know, by turning over your day and all your actions of the day to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is a very, very powerful exercise, you know, to do. You know, recognizing that we don't deny the body. In other words, the Course isn't saying if you're feeling intense pain or you have an illness of some kind, it's important to be normal and, you know, do what you can to be comfortable. And that might be mean using magic, you know, if it helps you relieve yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, you can just know in your mind the truth. See, you know in your mind that the cause is always at the mind level, not physical. So you can change your mind about it and work at the mind level by practicing forgiveness and doing the actual steps of it, joining with the Holy Spirit and doing, you know, exercises at the mind level. At the same time, you go about your day doing what you would normally do. You know, go to the doctor if you need to see the doctor, you know, do those kinds of things. But you can do it with a different teacher. You can do it with love in your mind instead of fear. You can remember your true power, you know, and turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Let him be in charge, you know, and let him be the judge, you know, of what you are. So those are just some ideas and some examples. And one of the key things in this too is to practice letting go of any particular outcome, like being attached to any particular outcome. In other words, you're training your mind. You know, if you have an illness, it's kind of like a mind training. It's training your mind to reinforce the idea, you know, that you can still walk in peace and choose the peace of God above all else, regardless of what's happening in the body. That's the goal of the Course. Regardless of my circumstances, I'm a mind and not a body, and I can choose peace. I can choose love over fear. That's my choice. That's my power I have, always. And I did this, by the way, when I was dealing, I write this in my book too, when I was dealing with severe throat issues. I mean, I lost my voice for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, you know, talk or sing, and it was really frustrating actually for a while. But I knew in my mind, I'm like, you know what, I have a choice right now. If I use this for the ego's purpose, I will suffer. I will be frustrated. I will be upset. I will be annoyed. You know, if I use it for the Holy Spirit's purpose, then I'm using it in a powerful way to awaken from the dream of separation, awaken from the guilty thought that I'm, you know, really a body, you know, which is a symptom of guilt, you know, and I'm really, this is really real, you know. And so when I used it for the Holy Spirit's purposes, my experience started to shift, and I started to become less attached. And I thought, you know what? This is really powerful, because now I really am at cause. I'm not the effect. I'm not a victim of my circumstances. You know, I'm cause, which means I can change my mind. So I would work at the mind level, but then I would be inspired as something would show up in my script. That would be a symbol of my decision to be well, of joining, my symbol of joining with the Holy Spirit. Like a book on herbs and supplements would come up, or someone would say something to me that when I tried it really worked well for me. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit works with you in your mind. You know, you as a result of joining and choosing the miracle, you're guided to all kinds of things that can serve you well in the dream.
Yeah,
it's kind of a long answer to your question, but yes. So
it just brings up so many things for me. I think it's so important what you said there, kind of in the middle, is to take your experience, because I say this all the time. In fact, I said it in a class earlier today. I say it all the time that whatever the person has going on, whether it's relationship issues, body issues, financial issues, work issues, self-esteem issues, it does not matter what it is, because whatever you've got that is in your face, it's causing you upset, So you think it's whatever it is that's really most bothering you, that is your mind training curriculum. That is your classroom. And so it is the thing that is going to make you be present in the moment. Like you say in your book at one point, take it one day at a time and one thought at a time. And, you know, that could be like, oh, that sounds so Hallmark greeting card. But that's exactly the reason why it sounds so, you know, cliche in a sense, is cliches are true. Cliches are helpful. They're not somebody just patting you and hoping you go away. It really is take it one thought at a time. That's where the healing is, one thought at a time. That's where the success is, one thought at a time. There's no other way to do it.
I totally agree, and that's why I was inspired, that line that is so often stated, you know, take it a step at a time or a thought, but it really is true. How, because the mind, if it's in a state of fear, we don't always catapult ourselves straight to the top, you know, of experiencing ourselves as one with God or joining with the Holy. Sometimes it's a process. And sometimes we do have to work our way up the ladder thought by thought. You know, mm-hmm. we have to do it thought by thought where we get just this will, because the mind is in a state of fear and it's too fearful to accept it all at once, the light all at once, the healing all at once. This is why Jesus says in the Course, don't have no fear. You will not be thrust into reality before you're ready.
Right.
You know, first of all, that wouldn't be very loving because it would
right.
be too fearful. So he's saying we all have to work our way up the ladder step
mm-hmm.
by step. That's the undoing of the ego, the climbing the ladder, you know, that the Course talks about. And, you know, this is brings up the download that I like to repeat sometimes that I received, because it's right in alignment with what we're talking about. When I was sitting in the back of the room in Switzerland one day when Gary was speaking, and I got this download from Jesus, because I knew it was the voice of him, the same voice as the Course, because of what it said. And it just said, tell the people the reason I'm not coming back is because I never left. I live within you. Treat anyone on any given day as though they were me, not because I'm special, but because you're also magnificent. Then this is the part that's relevant. He said, anytime you feel any pain or suffering, no matter what the form it takes, recognize it's the thoughts that you're thinking that is bringing you pain. Ask yourself, is this thought bringing me pain or is it bringing me joy? If it's bringing me pain, then decide for a new thought. And then it said, thought by thought, remember the truth. Thought by thought. So, and another place in the Course where this is very much in alignment with taking things step by step is, see, there are rules for decision by which we can live, where
mm-hmm.
the goals, you know, that we really want, like to feel peace, to feel a sense of connection to God, we can achieve that if we just follow these simple rules he's giving us. And I won't go over, you know, all of it, but just people can find it in chapter 30 under rules for decision. It's
mm-hmm.
a brilliant way of taking it step by step, how to get yourself on track when you feel you've lost yourself and you got lost in the wrong mind with the ego. Really, really ponder what Jesus is saying in that section about how you can work your way through fear, through doubt, uncertainty, remembering your goal always of what do you really want? You know, we all want to feel peace, the peace of God, you know, but resistance keeps us from that. And that's the ego's function, is to keep us in resistance and fear.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is gently guiding us in the section of how we can change our minds slowly, step by step, thought by thought. You know, by keeping the goal in mind always. You know, we can start off our day already, you know, establishing the goal from the beginning. From the beginning, what is it that I really want to experience above all else today? you know, and remind yourself throughout the day of your goal, you know, and that there is a way to experience, you know, this true peace the Course is talking about. But it does take this is where the willingness comes in as well. It takes willingness to turn it over and to say, you know what, maybe my way has been wrong. Maybe I've been wrong. Or else I wouldn't feel bad. I wouldn't feel this way. I must have decided with the wrong teacher. So there must be another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? What can I lose?
Right.
This isn't the invitation to the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I'm reminded, Cindy, a couple of years ago, crazy as it sounds, I injured my back sitting in meditation.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's pretty
in
common.
Yeah,
for people who do a lot of sitting meditation, if your posture is a little bit off and you're sitting in meditation a lot, you can actually tweak your back. And I went through a period where I was sitting in meditation a lot. I hadn't been exercising enough, and I also had lots of long plane rides, like 12-hour plane rides, and it didn't work for my back, and so. For the first time in my life, I was in excruciating pain day after day after day for weeks. And it was such a learning, because to keep your mind focused in God and not as a body and not on the pain. And it was really interesting. And I was still teaching through that period, and when I was teaching, of course, I wasn't thinking about the pain. I wasn't feeling the pain. My mind was focused on other things. I absolutely knew that it was happening, because I had been reading the Course a couple months before, and I was reading about healing. And as I read it, I had this thought about something like, what if I were to experience incredible physical pain and suffering? And when I thought it, I felt like, I think something is coming. I didn't know what it was, but then it came. I don't feel like I brought it on through errant thinking or anything like that. I feel like it was an opportunity for me to further realize I am not a body, and I have a body, and to care for it well, to appreciate it, and to recognize that my mind and my body are not the same thing. And it was quite an experience, and definitely helpful to me, though certainly not one I'd like to repeat. Yeah.
Oh, I totally understand that. From what you're saying, it sounds like, though, that you were really using it
for
the Holy Spirit's purposes, because you remembered, you know, hey, you know what, I have a choice here. Even though if I feel it feels painful or whatever, it's just that remembering that you were kind of just talking about. When you just remember the truth, that can just alone be really helpful.
It
is. Remember, you know what, I may be experiencing this pain right now in the body, but I still don't have, I can still take care of the body normal, right? Take care of it, do what I would do to make me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But let me not use it as a function of guilt. I don't have to use it for that purpose, though. I can still switch the purpose for what it's for, make it so it turns into a blessing, an opportunity for me to use it to heal my mind by remembering that I, you know, I have this, you know, what I really am. Remember that I'm a mind and not a body. And so you can still do the mind work, you know, and let that inspire you as to the most helpful thing, you know, that would serve you well here in this level as well, you know. And that's, and you know, it is really tempting for all of us, I think, at times to think that it's that thought that comes in, well, did I create this because of the thoughts I was thinking in my mind? I think sometimes sometimes that just reinforces the guilt. If we really allow ourselves to go there, And, you know, it kind of makes it more real to think that, oh, I just created this by my thoughts, which is also it's a very sneaky way of the ego trying to sneak in and make you feel guilty that you caused it. So it's more about right in this moment, in that moment, it's really just about remembering, hey, this is all, you know, was all established at the beginning. I'm reliving a script that's already gone by, and my only function is to forgive it if it's upsetting me, to forgive, you know, the contents of my own dream that I made up. We all made it up, all of us together as one at the beginning, you know. So I think that's more helpful than saying, oh, I just brought this upon myself by thinking negative thoughts. Watch the guilt there. It's a tricky way. You know, the ego's saying I'm guilty. Just remember the one mind at the beginning, you know, made up this whole dream of separation, which takes the form of all our forms of suffering and pain here. Now, one thing to keep in mind, too, is that pain, like body pain, for example, it doesn't have to equal suffering. We may feel pain in the body, but suffering is a choice. And it's a very, this may sound blasphemous to the ego. Ego just doesn't want to look at it that way. But if we're really looking closely at what the Course is saying, you know, all suffering is in the mind. And it manifests itself where it appears so we feel physical symptoms. But suffering is a choice in the sense that, well, if I just remember, you know, I'm a mind, my only job is I can see peace instead of this. I can mm-hmm. still see peace. That's our only job, is to which teacher are we viewing it with? You know, always comes back to that. Maybe the pain will go away, but maybe it won't. So the key is, what if it doesn't? What if it didn't go away? Well, it doesn't have to take away the peace of God within me. And I can still do what I can, just do the most loving thing and do whatever's helpful to me here, which means if I have to be on magic, you know, be on medicine, well, maybe my lesson is I can be on medicine, but be on it without guilt in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I can take this medicine that helps relieve me of pain, you know, or helps relieve some, but I can do it and just say, you know what? It's the taking it seriously and making it real that is the problem. But if we just take it, but we do it with the Holy Spirit and do it without guilt, then you're training the mind to say, hey, none of it matters. Doesn't
right.
matter. You know, and my body, whether I'm healthy or sick, it's still not true because I'm not a body. That's the attitude. That's the mindset of the Course.
A lot of people do take medicine and feel guilty, like they're somehow spiritually failing because they're taking medicine.
Right. Yes, that's true. And this is why, you know, remember, the Course is not about behavior. You know, it's at the level of the mind, how we're interpreting something, how we're thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we looking at it? You know, I mean, it really does come down to that every single time, and there's no difference. It's all the same. We're either viewing it with the ego, which will always make us feel guilty, always make us feel bad, and makes the world and our bodies real, or, again, we can look at it with our right minds, with the Holy Spirit, and where we accept the atonement for ourselves. Nothing happened. You know, it's the correction that's already there in the mind. You know, and so the ego wants us to make the body real, makes us, you know, to feel guilty. You know, that's its function. The world was made as an attack on God. It was made an attack on love. So everything here, you know, is a symbol of that. Even the things that appear to go well, which you don't have to forgive those things, but you know, this is why, you know, Jesus says in the Course, the dreams you think you like will hold you back just as much as the dreams in which fear is seen. Because he's saying, like, when we're attached to any of it, to all of it, we're making the dream real. The dream is just a function of duality. There's always going to be the seeming bad, seeming good. That's what duality is. But the Course is about awakening from the entire dream, not just having a better life in the world, not having a better body, but awakening from the dream that I'm body, that I'm separate from God. Awakening from the dream, not in the dream, from the dream. That's
mm-hmm.
what Buddha did. That's what Buddha was talking about when he said, I'm awake. I'm awakening from the dream of separation. It's really, really a deep teaching, the Course, when you really get, you know what, it's really going all the way. It's pure non-dualism. There's nothing else. There's only God. This is what I do, by the way, when I feel like I'm in a situation where I'm feeling, even if it's like an intense migraine headache, which I've gotten from time to time, and those are really intense.
Yeah.
But this is what I just do. What can you do except turn it over? I surrender it, and I say, Holy Spirit, this is a good thing to practice if anybody is experiencing any kind of pain. Holy Spirit, help me to perceive myself as I really am and not how I have set it up. Help me to see through your eyes of peace instead of judgment. Because what does judgment do of it making it real? When we say, you know, this is bad, we judge it as negative or bad, we make it more real. So I've just practiced turning it over completely and saying, I do not know what's best, but I do know what my true function is, and it's to forgive. Remember, you know, go all the way with this. Be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. Only for God and His kingdom. You know, there is nothing else. And I have to honestly say, when I really do that, and I remember to do it, there's a shift in the way I experience an event. And I won't experience it as intensely as if I didn't do it. So it's always good to do it. Whether you think it brings results right away or not, I would still trust the process and just do it anyway. Because it's always doing something at the level of the mind that we can't see. We can trust that. This is where that faith comes in, where trust comes in. Trust in the process, that Holy Spirit, when you choose Him and you invite Him in, He's working right there with you because He's in your mind. You know, and God goes with you wherever you go. The line, Lesson 41 says, God goes with you wherever you go, which means joy goes with you wherever you go. Peace goes with you wherever you go. No matter where you appear to be in the world, you're never separated from that. And that can be very comforting in times of stress, in times of pain. You're never, never alone. You're never abandoned, never rejected. It's only a thought away. The choice for God is literally a thought away when you just remember. It's that remembering. And then exercising that power to choose it over and over again, you know, on our daily lives. That's how you really live the Course, by practicing daily with anything that comes up that disturbs your peace.
You know, I've talked with so many people over the years who feel really lonely. And Jesus tells us in the Course that you can feel lonely, but you can never be alone, because I am always with you. And for the one who's really open to experiencing that constant companionship, the loneliness does fall away, and you realize, wow, what was I thinking? I really do feel that I'm never alone now. And when there is suffering, that's the mind training that's pointing you to stop thinking you're alone on your own, that you have to figure it out, that you are, your separate resources are all you have. And the suffering is such an indicator that we have a wrong perspective, and we can shift that. You know, in thinking about people who are going through a great emotional difficulty, what I was just getting, Cindy, is to ask you to speak about something that I think will really help people, and that is, because I know this has been an issue in your life, and when a loved one makes their transition, passes away, particularly unexpected or untimely, this can be a cause of great pain and suffering. And then people do feel that in their pain and suffering, in their grief, that they're failing And I've even heard, I remember one time an elderly woman told me in a grief counseling situation that someone had said to them after her husband of like 50 some years had died, that someone close to her said, "You have to get over it." It's like, oh, wow. There's so much, so much stuff around death and dying, and it's related to health and well-being in a certain sense. I wonder if you could speak about your own life experiences with working with that.
Well, yeah, that's a really, really, see, people feel on a very deep level. They really do. And it wouldn't be helpful. It's not helpful if you're in a situation where someone is experiencing tremendous grief or loss, and then you do say something like, well, just forgive it, right? Or like, you just blurt it out.
Oh,
or just
God.
Remember, this is not real, right? This is an illusion.
Yeah.
Now, this is definitely not what the Course is saying to do. I mean, yes, it's an illusion, but it doesn't mean you just – that wouldn't be very loving if someone is truly experiencing, right? They're not ready to make that choice yet. Or maybe they – so – it's very important to allow, whether it's yourself or someone else, the grieving process if that's where you are at in that moment, and not try to rush people, you know, into, you know, being in some place where they're not ready to accept yet. So it's very important to have compassion and kindness in those situations, first of all, where you're, in other words, you just, maybe the loving thing is just to sit with them and be with them and hug them, or you don't even have to say anything. Maybe the guidance is just, again, you're being with them, but not talking at them, you know, and just being, being love and letting that presence of love direct your actions in those kinds of situations. So I experienced my brother, my stepbrother passed in 2014 very unexpectedly, got hit by a train. And of course that was a shock, you know, shock to all of us, you know, a shock to all of us. And I remember, you know, thinking, you know, whatever feeling comes up in me about this, I'm just going to allow it. And not push it or repress the feelings or emotions down. Whatever comes up, I'm not going to try to force anything. I'm just going to allow myself to feel naturally what I feel. But I did remember that, you know, my feelings come from my thoughts. So just remember that I can, you know, I can just allow myself to feel without judging myself. That was the key for me. Allow myself to feel any emotions. If I feel sadness, I'm going to let myself feel sadness. But at the same time, I can just remind myself in my mind, you know, of that there is no death, that there's only life, you know, those kinds of things. But you can do it gently and with love and with patience and without judging yourself. It's very loving to allow yourself to feel and let yourself go through the process, you know, and then eventually the time comes where you remind yourself, you do remember, though, that, you know, we're never truly separate from anyone or anything. There's only life. There is no death. There's only life.
Mm-hmm.
And life continues. You know, you can just gently introduce those ideas and remember that in your mind. And at the same time, don't deny your feelings.
Yep.
See, don't deny the emotion. Just allow it to come up, you know, because what will that do? Well, it will just be repressed, and it will have to be projected out then again at some point later if it's repressed. You just allow yourself to feel. It's okay, in other words. Allow yourself the process if you need to grieve. That way, it's a way of moving through it so you can look at it honestly, you know, not judge yourself, and then step by step, as we talked about before, thought by thought, you know, you will get through it, you know, and you can still, you know, remember, you know, the truth at the same time. You can still remember the truth, and that's what I did. I remembered the truth, you know,
mm-hmm.
that there's, you know, again, I accepted the atonement for myself.
mm-hmm.
There's no separation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, you know, because Yeah, and so we want to be normal, though, with people in these situations, not just quote a line from the Course to people if they're truly grieving.
That's right.
You know, or they're truly, that's not going to be helpful. You know, that's not helpful. It's not very loving.
Well, true success is really being present in the moment and recognizing that our feelings, and you're very good about what you share in your book about emotions, recognizing our emotions are actually only helpful to us. And sometimes we don't like our emotions, but our emotions are pointing us to our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And then if we give our thoughts to the Holy Spirit, we're not on our own anymore, and we can have a healing. And I, as you're talking, Cindy, you're so clear and so helpful in what you're sharing. It reminds me when, and I've talked about this many times, when my mom passed away, my dad, about a month later, he said to me, "I just can't believe she's gone." They were together 50 years. He said, "I can't believe your mother's gone." And without even thinking, it just came right out of my mouth. I said, "Dad, what if she's not gone? What if she's gone ahead?" And then I remember when, because I had spent a lot of time with my parents when my mom was sick and lived with them and all that. And when I went back to my life in L.A., which actually was when I was first getting to know you, I went back to L.A. and I remember thinking some thought like, "I'm never going to hear my mother's voice again." And I started to cry. And then my higher self, or the Holy Spirit, to me it's the same thing, said, "That's not a true thought. You will hear your mother's voice again. You can hear your mother's voice now." And I started to look at, because I gently heard the Holy Spirit say, "Why are you telling yourself these things? Why? Mm-hmm. What's the point?" And one of the things that I realized, Cindy, was, and I'm just so glad the Holy Spirit brought this into my awareness to talk with you about, it's specialness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's the specialness of, my mother died, that makes me special. My brother died, that makes me special. There's so many ways the ego is looking for specialness. I'm really neurotic, it makes me special. You know,
yeah.
I'm paralyzed from the neck down, it makes me special. There's an endless list of specialness that we can grab onto. And it's such a success when we can turn away from the need to be special.
Oh, gosh. And that's such a great, I'm glad you brought up the specialness, because this is exactly what I say in my book about, you know, what can an illness do sometimes too, is it's, and in fact, I say, we think the ego wants to think of it too as the, "Hey, this makes me special," in kind of a twisted way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm special because I'm unique and I'm different and I have this illness, and we make it very real. But, and what I did was I got the inspiration from the Holy Spirit, and I heard this voice say, "You know what? It's not, having a particular illness is not special at all." In other words, it's special when we make it special, make it different than something else, that it's more, it's important than something else, more real than something else. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Hey, it's not unique in and of itself. It's not special in and of itself. It's the same as anything else here in the dream." And we make it, and I was like, oh, it was like one of those aha moments. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, we do make it special here. We make everything special, but what if it's not? You know, what if we make it all the same? Well, that's what I mean by that. There's no hierarchy of illusions. There's nothing truly inherently special here, you know, about the world, but we do make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the ego wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to single something out, which, what does it do? I'm real. The ego's real. The world is real. This problem is real. this thought is real. You know, that's the game. That's the game of the ego. But when we see it, generalize our lessons and make it all the same and it's unreality here in the dream, that's really, really letting go of the seriousness of the ego and rejoining with Christ, which you really are in the mind. Very powerful. I'm glad you brought the specialness up, though, because that's a key part of all the whole way the ego operates. You know, that's how it was established at the beginning. I'm a special individual mind apart from God. I'm special. I'm different. I'm unique. I created myself. I usurped God's throne. You know, I mean, it's just so silly. I mean, and we can really look at it as and remember to laugh. Remember to laugh at all of it. Like, the world is worthy of laughter, not tears. And all of us can get to this place. It doesn't happen overnight. We're not saying rush it, but it will happen. Where everyone reaches the real world where they can laugh the world away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's meaningless in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's meaningless. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You know, because you said it, because I think this is an important point for Course in Miracles students, at least it has been for me, and I'm looking at the clock, we're going to start moving towards our closing, but the meaningless world, one of the things I say is, A Course in Miracles tells us the world is meaningless, but it's not valueless. In the sense that the world can show us something.
Yes, the meaningless part is when Jesus is saying, renounce the world and make it meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, give up the meaning that you gave it and let it be reinterpreted through you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then the value, the Holy Spirit, by choosing the Holy Spirit, you can use the world, the illusion of the world that we made, the Holy Spirit can use it for a different purpose through you, which in other words, it can serve a holy purpose. And that way it's truly valuable when we're using it for forgiveness. Then it becomes, yes, you know, not that the world itself is valuable because there's no world,
but we can
use it for value, in other words, which means use it to awaken from the dream of death, from the dream of separation, then it has tremendous value. Yeah, for using it for that purpose. Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because sometimes people, when they think about a meaningless world, they think that nothing they choose in this world has any value. And there's so much value in every moment to being awake and aware to what's going on. And this is a constant conversation with Course people who, because there is a real temptation to say, well, this is all an illusion, so what difference does it make what I do? And you know what? This feels like it brings us back to full circle to where we started in the beginning, that where you were talking about that we're reviewing the past, and that it's all gone by, and we're reviewing it in our mind. And there was a question that I got to ask, and I completely forgot about it listening to you, or just moved on in the river of our conversation. But it feels now it's come back again, which is, so if we are only reviewing what came by, what has gone by already, we're reviewing the past in our mind versus having a new, fresh experience now. How do we hold that in our minds and decide, well, what difference does it make what I choose now if I'm reviewing something that already happened? I think before we close out, we need to answer that.
Yeah, that's also a pretty common question in regards to, well, if the world's an illusion, that kind of idea, what does it matter, right? Well, it matters because you don't have to suffer. See, we've confused love with sacrifice, and we don't realize that this is the unhappy dream. Mm-hmm. And we think that we're equating our happiness with the world and things that happen in the world. But Jesus is saying, look, you know, recognize first that you're not happy here. This is not the happy world. And we don't need to suffer. This is why he says every minute. And this is, though, this would have, this is what has true value. We remember every minute and every second gives you a chance to save yourself, you know, and it, because it gives you an opportunity to choose again. You know, delay of joy is needless. So this is why it matters, you know, what choices we're making in the mind, not what we do in the world, but how we're looking at the world, how we're looking at, you know, our seeming lives here. Because, hey, we're still immersed in ego in a world of separation. So we still have to undo the ego. That's why it's important, because we still have to undo it to awaken from the dream. So, yes, we're mentally reviewing a world that has already gone by. But as long as we still believe in the world, which we must because we wouldn't appear to be having this experience here, as long as we still believe in the world, we need to undo the ego through the practice of true forgiveness, which undoes all of the guilt, undoes the belief that we're here, mm-hmm. you know, and belief in separation, you know. And this is why it's not helpful to just say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. Because, see, in the world, it's set up, there is consequences mm-hmm. at this level. So if we're just going to go about, that means you could just say, well, I'm going to go murder someone, it's going to be okay. But what does that do? It reinforces the separation. It just delays your awakening. It delays, you know, the awakening process in general. And it's not helpful. Mm-hmm. And that's why it matters in that sense. Because we would never awaken from a dream if without recognizing first that we're dreaming. We're dreaming a dream. You know, we would just stay in this cycle forever. But that will never happen. Because it's not set up that way. And that's why, you know, the Course says, you know, all of us are already there, but we just need to awaken from the dream. You know, we do need to undo the ego to have the experience that we're awake. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's not, again, helpful to just, you know, brush it off like it doesn't matter what I do. You know, and what you do comes from what you think. So as you do get in touch more with your right mind, which is a process over time, over centuries here in our seeming existence here. It could seem to take a lot of time. In fact, it could take mm-hmm. a million years, as Jesus says in the Course. But delay of joy is needless. You don't have to suffer. And the choice can be now, the choosing the holy instant, the miracle. You can really, truly save thousands of lifetimes of having the experience of linear time by accepting the atonement for yourself. So that sense, it does matter, you know, because we suffer here. We just don't think we're suffering. You know, we think, you know,
yeah.
you know, the world's happiness is completely opposite to true joy. Being a slave, true joy is God, you know, in reality. This is a very poor substitute, the world. You know, we just, we realize that more and more. As we give up here in the dream, what hurts us, and what hurts us is thinking with the ego. And when we give that up, you know, we recognize what it is we really want, what's truly valuable, and that's awakening from the dream. What's valueless is what keeps us rooted in dreams, in the dream of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you're talking about, too, I know for me, what I've come to recognize is that my joy is directly related to feeling like I'm being truly helpful. And I don't feel there's a burden to being truly helpful, to being of service to the light is another way I think of it. I think of it as I work for God Incorporated, and all mm-hmm. the time, 24/7, yeah. greatest benefits package, greatest coworkers, you know, and the greatest, yeah.
And greatest insurance you could ever have, right? Your safety lies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Got it. God is my insurance. Yeah.
Exactly. And in the beginning of the miracle principles, it talks about miracles are service. They're acts of service. And a miracle is when we align with the Holy Spirit's way of looking at the world and way of thinking and being, and that being miracle-minded is the greatest service that we can render to anyone, including ourselves. And it's a way of loving our neighbors and recognizing our own worth, because the only real issue we have in this world is a sense of worthlessness or being bad or wrong or in any way unworthy. And the way to correct that is to be miracle-minded. And the only way to be miracle-minded really is to extend love. And so that's our success, is to extend love. And every moment offers us an opportunity to extend love. So every moment is precious. And this is what I've trained myself to do, is say, oh, you know, 10 moments just went by and I was thinking judgmental thoughts or whatever I might have been doing. I was disconnecting from the flow of love. I can change my mind right now, focus on extending love now, not look back. Don't look back even 5 minutes, just right now. And that to me is a living success.
Totally agree with that. Totally, completely agree. Yeah, that it's that present focus. You know, letting go of all defenses, which are dwelling on the past or even worrying about the future. Those are really just defenses against a present change of focus, present change of mind. You know, so exactly. When you're in your right mind, when you're truly in that holy instant, you are in the present. When you truly have made that shift in that instant, you know, where the past has no effect and the future is not even there, doesn't have any impact of the worry of anticipation of what's to come. When you let go of all that, and really it takes a practice to do that, and that's the way, you know, to stay focused on, hey, I can, my power is now. I can change my mind now. It's the only time there is, you know, is the moment of the eternal present, you know. And think of all the defenses that come up against the present change of mind. They take thousands of different forms.
Oh, yeah.
All the tricky ways the ego comes up to keep us focused on the past. Which, why does the ego love that? Because that's because we appear to have sinned in the past. The whole idea of separation to the ego happened in the past. So it's attached to that. It's attracted to the past. Because that was the first moment. It's that that's what I am, separate, apart from God.
Yes. And it only catches our attention because there's the stickiness of our belief system attracting these things into or projecting outward, so that we are caught by these things. And the more we're focused on extending love and being with the Holy Spirit, as you well know, those things just become uninteresting. It's like I used to be a smoker, and so I'd be interested in smoking, and I used to be very judgmental, and so I'd be interested in attack thoughts about people. Or it's like the more you do this work with the Holy Spirit, these things just, they become uninteresting. They're not catching your attention anymore.
Yeah, things do tend to slip away. Things that used to be attracted to, or that would, like, you know, attracted to guilt can take those kind of forms when we're attracted to things that might not be the loving choice, you know, choice for ourselves to make. You know, those things tend to slip away. You know, the more the ego's undone, you're just not interested anymore. It doesn't have any appeal to you anymore.
That's true success right there.
Oh, yeah. That's all part of that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Letting go of the ego's need. Yeah. The needs and the desires of ego that says, if I take this in or this substance in, it's going to make me happy. Those things definitely slip away as the guilt is undone. Yes.
Well, it's clear that we could talk well into the night and never be finished. So,
right.
I always enjoy the opportunity to talk with you, and just to be with you, Cindy. I so appreciate you. I always have since the first time we met. I remember the first time we met, and Gary had told me ahead of time. Back then, he said, "My friend Cindy is going to be with me," and this is back way before you were living together, and in a room full of hundreds of people, I turned around and you popped. There you were, and I said, "I know that's Cindy. I know that's her." And it was.
Wow!
You thought that. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So the book is A Course in Health and Well-Being, and people can get it off of your website and where books are sold. Your website, Cindy
and
Laura,
Amazon.
And Amazon.
Yep. Cindy Laura.
Cindy Laura. CindyLaura.com. And I want to just let people know, too, that you've been doing counseling sessions. You're a trained counselor in spiritual psychology, and you have a degree from USM, as many great teachers like Jan LaVanzant and other teachers have. I know I have many friends who have that same degree that you have from USM. It's a wonderful program. And that you are such a dedicated course student. So if people are looking for someone to do one-on-one counseling with, I would highly recommend you. And I also, and I'm saying that as someone who trains spiritual counselors, and I also, I have to point out that you have such wonderful music. And I also have to always point out, Cindy, that you and Gary, your husband, Gary Renard, and I always tell people too, if you're looking for an intro to A Course in Miracles, I encourage you to start with Disappearance of the Universe. So many people have thanked me that I suggested that. So I always say that. But just really quickly, one of the number of CDs that you have done is that Meditations for Couples that you and Gary did. I also like to recommend that to people. So there's a whole bunch of things that they can find at CindyLaura.com. I encourage you to go there and take a look around.
I really appreciate, you know, I want to just kind of reciprocate, you know, everything that you said, because I really feel the same way about you, and really appreciate your participation in all of this, and using your life in a beautiful way to help, you know, contribute to the awakening also of the dream. And I appreciate you as a friend, as a teacher, you know, and just always being there and being a loving presence. So I want to say thank you as well.
Because, my pleasure.
We've known each other for quite a long time now, actually.
Yeah.
And and it's always just a pleasure to get together with you and talk with you and and reinforce these ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And each other, and yes, and let that be extended. Yes.
I'm also going to mention that twice you and your family, your mother, your sister, your brother-in-law have been on my radio show. So people can look for that if they go to livingacourseofmiracles.com/radio. We did one episode that also with your family that also Gary was there. And those are really great episodes of that radio show, because it's wonderful for people who just want to talk about practicing A Course in Miracles in the family. So not to get us on a whole nother topic, because that would be easy to do, as we're over our time. But so I'm going to say a
thanks
prayer
for bringing that up, though.
Yeah. Well, and there's other things, you know, your sister has her own thing that she's doing, and it goes on and on. So it's a starter, and people can go to CindyLaura.com and learn more. Cindy, Laura.com. All right. Let's take a moment here to pray us out and giving thanks to the Holy Spirit for leading us and guiding us so perfectly, so beautifully, so gratefully, acknowledging the love that Cindy is, that I am, that we all are, that we are all one. And so we are not separate, and we are willing to recognize and remember our unity and the unity of all life. We're so grateful and thankful to let the Holy Spirit be our teacher so that we can be truly successful, truly helpful, truly living a life of love. So grateful and thankful for things as they are, for everything is working together for our good, and this we are willing to accept. So grateful to shine the light of truth in our own hearts and minds and to share with our brothers and sisters in every moment of every day. We are grateful, grateful, grateful. And so we simply let it be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
My pleasure. Give my love to Gary.
And
thanks, everybody. I'll be back with the homework class tomorrow. We'll be talking about true success more tomorrow, and I'll share some of my own thoughts and expand on Cindy's points. And God bless you all. Thank you so much.
God bless you all. Love you, everybody. God bless.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.